Hi, I'm Rachel Preston. I'm going to read from The Wind Cellar, opening pages. Thursday, May 29th, 1924. Hetty awakens flushed and shaken, another man in her dreams, stroking, fondling, his breath slippery and warm against her neck. Her husband stirs and she tenses as his fingers trail a sleepy arc across her back, her hip, her thigh, before coming to settle behind the curve of her buttocks. She shifts away, then holds her breath before pushing it out, rhythmic and even. Patients wanting to avoid medicine or bed baths or even visitors would sometimes pretend to be asleep. Most breathe too slowly, a dead giveaway. Hetty presses her face into the pillow, hoping to reconnect with that other man, a vague, shadowy figure, large calloused hands, hair falling to his shoulders. No one she knows. On occasion, a dream insinuates itself more deeply. The man is real, one of the men from the mill, rubbing himself up and down the length of her, Paul McFadden, the blacksmith, his thick blackened hands gripped around her thighs, the sinews in his neck glistening with sweat, inches from her face. Her sex is swollen, her quickened heartbeat alarmingly loud, her passion for her nocturnal partner disturbing, visceral. She wakes filled with dread. Guilt from adultery, committed in sleep, spills over into her waking life. But it is her dizzying strength of her lust for these men, known and unknown, the way such feelings, with their adolescent power, rock her to her core that unsettles her, much more than the carnality. The dreams take Hetty back to crushes on teachers, the librarian with the cupid's bow lips, ripe for kissing, Tom, the delivery boy from the bakery. For Tom, she began rising early to meet him at the back door, take the loaves warm from his hands. In braver moments, encouraged by a nod or a smile, she would brush the back of her hand against his long, square-tipped fingers. She wanted to put them in her mouth. The desire to kiss the tips of his thick, dark eyelashes burned deep in her belly. She counted out the money from the shortbread tin on the pantry shelf slowly, drawing out his time at her back door, drinking in the way his thin shirt pulled across his broad shoulders, the smooth planes of his chest. If she reached out and touched him, she knew her fingers would meet a welcome resistance, because men's bodies, she could tell by the way their clothing both draped and clung as they moved, were harder than women's. When Tom left, Hetty stayed leaning against the doorframe, eyes closed, tasting the scent of sweat and fresh bread he left behind, and imagined holding herself against him, imagined the feel of her hand warm and secure in his larger one. Imagined skip-stepping a little to keep up with him as they strode together along Hollis Street or around the flower beds and duck ponds of the public gardens. Peter moves his hand to the dip of her waist. This is Hetty's cue. She could stretch awake, lean back into him, and the dream would loose its hold. Instead, she remains still, feigning sleep until Peter rises to meet his day's work at the mill, unwilling to disturb the shadow of the stranger's imprint upon her body.